Sometimes the awkwardness that you have, that you bring to a conversation, might be the best quality you have as a person, but you don't even know. Some of the things that you might push off and not want to lean into and embrace might be the strong suits that you're missing in it. And you just have to break that social construct, because once you break that, you can literally do whatever. The sky's the limit.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 108 of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Mason, and today we are joined by rapper and artist Midwest. Was amazing to have him on the show. I think definitely one of my favorite episodes in a long time. I was able to have him by the office in person, and I think just the amount of not only energy, but just enthusiasm and excitement and just sort of like, you know, eagerness that radiates off this kid, I think was really, really refreshing, both to have on the show and to really think about like the music industry and what sort of people are coming up and what their sort of energy and attitude is. And then to have him be so open and vulnerable about sort of what he's about and what he chooses to share in his music, was really amazing. So have been really excited to put this one out for a while, and yeah, super excited for you guys to be able to hear it this week. Enjoy. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Midwest.
You do a lot of podcasts ever or no?
I mean, not really podcasts. No, not really, bro. Like, I really don't, genuinely. Like, it's really only when I have, like, something coming out. Like, I did, like, a full promotional run for, like, my last EP.
Uh-huh.
And that was, like, the first time, like...
Right, that you went and did, like the radio shows.
I went in to do, like radio drops and all of that shit. And that stuff is so sick to me. Because I grew up listening.
You like doing all that stuff?
Yeah, because I grew up, like, making, like, mixes and compilation mixes of myself. Like, songs and stuff I like.
Yeah, yeah.
For, like, the gym.
Yeah.
And so I always felt like a DJ. And
right,
so
right.
Now being able to be like, yo, it's Midwest. You in the mix with what, bro? That's that shit.
That's so fun, honestly.
Bro, it's super fun.
How long have you been out in L.A. for this trip?
I got out here on Sunday. I got out here on Sunday.
Nice.
And I've just been chilling, working, just finalizing all the songs and like getting a lot of the songs on my album across the finish line.
So you mostly have everything done and now you're just sort of like fine-tuning everything?
Yeah, I have like all the songs on the album are there. It's just a matter of building each one out to the full like...
Nice.
Place I wanted.
And this is like, and this is your first record, right?
Yeah, this is my first, first like debut.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm, bro,
how did your sort of like vision for it start, or like what was the idea like when you knew that it was time?
With me, I knew that a lot of my like music and stuff is like very romantic, like like a lot of the topics and stuff, but I really never really went into depth on how I got that view of love, or like how, why I view love the way I do.
Yeah.
And like this album is really like a peek into like that, and like me talking about like very descriptive one-on-one like toxic relationships that happened, or like situationships I were in that like even impacted me during the making of the album, or
wow,
like around the album or before I started it, like just all things that impacted me and my view of life.
No, for sure. I want to get to that more, but I definitely want to start with just your name. I think is really cool and interesting. My family background is actually from like the Midwest. My whole family's from Michigan.
Where? My sister goes to school in Michigan.
What school?
Michigan State.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
Was she all right with the shooting that was there a few weeks ago?
Yeah, she was actually on campus for that. And
dude, that's so crazy.
They canceled classes for like the following 2 weeks. I think it was like a week and a half or two.
Wow.
For her, but she's safe. She's good, but it definitely shook her up a bit.
She said it was like super traumatic for everyone on campus.
Yeah, it was definitely.
I can't even imagine, dude.
Yeah, just frenzy. Like, genuinely not knowing what information. Because even my family thought that there were like two shooters at the time, but it was only one. Like hearing all the info and updates, like I would never wish for anybody to ever be in that situation, because it is so scary, especially when you have family members or somebody that you care for is directly in that or involved in that. Makes it a thousand, because you always think that, oh, this is an occurrence that's never going to happen to me.
Right. Like you always read about it. Like
always reading
else.
About it, always hearing about it. But you're like, oh, it's never going to happen to me. But then when it happens, it makes you reconsider and reevaluate a lot of the things that you might have thought like beforehand.
So how did you come up with the name? Like, what was the sort of inspo for it, and what does it really mean to you?
I was just living in Indiana, man. Like, I was like, I used to have my Instagram was like the thing I was very proud of at the time. So it was like, I was going through, and I just started making music seriously, like genuinely, not seriously, like big quotation marks on serious.
Yeah, yeah.
But like early 2020, I was like, you know what? I need to have a catchy name that people can search up very easily in a name that's going to, like, simple, straight to the point.
Were you going by something else at that
time?
Yeah,
I was going by Suspect with a dollar sign. Horrible name choice. But, yeah, I was going by,
$2 signs or just
just
first?
One. Just the one, like just the dollar sign. And then it was lowercase, too. It wasn't, like, upper. Like, it didn't have any, like, bro, it was such a thing. Oh.
No, like, but that's what it's all about. It's just, like, you know.
It's, like, growing from it. But looking back on it, it just always makes me chuckle because I had the funniest name development. Because my first one was a joke name, but it was like Lil Draco, aka Young Bullet Casing. Mm-hmm. Then my second one evolved to Suspect with the dollar sign.
Yep.
And then I changed my IG handle to Midwest, but I still went by Suspect. Mm. But my Instagram had become Midwest, and then I was looked at it one day. I was like, why don't I just make that my artist?
Fire, yeah.
Because I was like, I bet, where do I live? I live in Indiana. Where's that at? The Midwest. Boom. And there's an E in it? Nah. X. Put an X there, and that's literally how I made my name. It was literally just for IG.
It's a tough handle, too.
I'm saying. Yeah, like, it's like, so clean.
Yeah.
Because it's so, because, like, people call me Mid, but I'm, you know, but.
That's the one you got to be careful of.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. It depends on the context. If you say it in the wrong way, I'm going to be like, huh? What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
You want to expand on that?
What does the Midwest really, like, mean to you in that way? Or, like, someone who's never been there or ain't from there?
Like, I just feel like it doesn't get a lot of... People think of here the Midwest, and the only thing they think of is Chicago. Mm-hmm. That's, like, Chicago and Detroit. Mm-hmm. You don't really think about all the other states or all the other things that exist there.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more there that people don't even know. Michael Jackson was from Gary, Indiana.
Yep.
Freddie Gibbs is from Indiana. Omar Apollo's from Gary. Like, we have a really crazy scene, and a lot of people just never talk about it because you... There's so many artists in Indiana who make so much of, like, there's some different, very unique artists out of Indiana, but there's also some artists where it's just, like, they make the exact same stuff you hear everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's hard for it to get traction because music is so oversaturated right now with people making things. And
yeah.
Because it's so easy to access a mic or whatever you need. But you just need a phone now.
Pull your phone in
That's
your
how
pocket.
Lil Tyler blew up.
Yeah.
He didn't, bro, Lil Tyler recorded on BandLab.
It's crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
He's hard too. Hold up, baby. I'm a player, not a Saint Bay. Hold up. What do you say?
No, I think, like, the Midwest is so underappreciated for just, like, music in general. Like, you talk about, like, my roots from Michigan. You know, you got Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, right? Like, all, like, Motown.
Bro, you
Barry
literally have
Gordy
all the Motown
like
records,
like,
in that building.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the Midwest is really where it all started.
Yeah, like, it really started for a lot of people. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
Like, bro, Marvin Gaye was recording in the Motown. In the Motown office, in the Motown building.
Yeah. No,
there were
incredible.
So many hits that were made there alone.
Yeah.
That is insane.
So I know you moved around a bit as like a kid, right? How old were you when you finally like settled up in Indiana?
Like 9.5 years ago, almost 10. So like...
You're like 10 or some shit?
Yeah, like 10.
Nice.
I just about to start fifth grade.
Okay.
So I went to... I started elementary school in Belgium before I...
Wow.
Yeah, I went to international school in Belgium and lived there for a year and a half before I moved to Indiana. And then before that, I lived in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then before that, I lived in Connecticut. But I was born in South Carolina.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, I like...
Lots to unpack there.
I don't have as much as that. I was like... I was born in Colorado.
Yeah.
And then my dad dipped on me and my mom. Then we went back to Michigan where she was from. And I was there for a couple years. And then I pretty much grew up here since I was like 3 or 4.
Fire. I'm starting to like LA more.
Yeah.
Liking Los Angeles more.
What do you like about it?
Bro, you just have to find the right people. It's what I've come to learn. Like, if you have the right friends here, it's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
But
is it hard for you to like navigate just like the newness of coming here? And I'm sure everyone sort of wants a piece of you.
Yeah,
it's just like,
the one part I always disliked about LA was just that so many like interactions and stuff felt mad superficial. It wasn't like they didn't feel organic or like a lot of them felt like, yo, bro,
you gotta pull up.
To this because my bro X is like X, Y, and Z is DJing this shit.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, cool.
For what?
For what? Like what? Like. You want me to meet? Like, what do I do with that?
What do you need from me? Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Like, what does this have to do with me?
Yeah, yeah. What is was all that moving around as a kid, like, what sort of effect do you think that had on you? Or, like, were you so young that you feel like you didn't even realize?
It made me have stints where I would listen to a bunch of music to pass the time. Like, when we would be moving our boxes or cleaning up our rooms or anything like that. So, like, we would always be listening to music.
Did you have siblings or?
Yeah, I have one older sister.
Okay, nice.
And she
so you weren't like fully alone in that.
Yeah, I wasn't fully
way.
Alone. Yeah. I always had both of my parents in my life, so I'm always blessed for that.
Yeah.
And they're actually really involved in my music. Like my parents are like kind of serve as like my managers who aren't my managers in a sort of way. Like they really exist in an official space
for
that too. And it's just a super cool dynamic to have. especially when you don't really see a lot of artists or rappers who start to blow up have like a very steady, like
totally
upbringing, like
a supportive, a stable home, like a supportive like home.
Like a lot of the time, a lot of people coming from broken homes, or underdeveloped like communities, and it's just super sick, like because like for example, Childish Gambino is a great example because he grew up in a very influential family, like very influential family. Even like it's just even Kanye, like those are two people. Oh. Really touch you right now, on that note, but
no, but he can still serve as an inspiration. But it's like,
you know, like that era, me just seeing people come from situations that you've come from,
right? Like educated, like communities like and strong families,
educated, know their own worth, or able to carry themselves and have that type of energy for them. That's the type of like those are the people I definitely looked up to.
Yeah, was it hard, like sort of making friends with bouncing around all over the place, and that's where you sort of just went. Like,
it was like I would make like three friends. And then those would be the only people I talked to, like at school or like whenever I was in another city.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to Indiana, it actually made me like I was able to actually start to be social and like open up and get more friends and like, talk to people and stuff. But that didn't really happen until like junior year of high school.
Right. Like 16, 17.
Yeah. Like really actually opening up and starting to like not try to act like somebody or if like. I was just really, that's when I started to authentically be myself.
What do you think changed for you that like allowed you to sort of be yourself at that time?
I went to PWI, like a very, very, very like.
Is it a big school? Is it a small school?
It's a pretty big school. Like it's a pretty big school for Indiana, but they have the middle school, high school, and the.
All on the same campus.
And it's a college.
Mad kids.
Bro, mad kids.
So you could have like a sixth grader walking by like a 12th grader.
Yeah, so I'm walking across campus and I walk past a whole K through 12 class, you know, like, bro, like I literally walked past a teacher in her whole class, like playing line leader to go to the lunchroom. And it's like, okay, fire. But there it was a lot of people who like I had always tried to fit in with, even though it wasn't who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely realized that towards like sophomore year, end of sophomore year, junior year. And I started to just be myself. And like, after that, that's when I started to actually enjoy high school and like, everything was cool. Everything was fun. Like, I ended high school on a good note. Like, good people around me.
Yeah.
But it definitely was a type of school where it was really... There weren't a lot of black kids there. Mm-hmm. Like, there were the black kids that all came on athletic scholarships and all programs and, like, carried the athletic department.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the black kids who were there intellectually who are all really, really smart. And then you had, like, the kids who barely wanted to, like, be at school or, like, barely be there. And then us. And then like... Me was like in the middle ground of both of those kids, like going to school, but then also having all of this stuff on the weekends for the music stuff and bouncing all of that. Like, cause that really started to pick up like junior year.
Yeah.
And then having to control that, like having label discussions and Zoom meetings in between like a free period of me in history class. Like,
that's wild.
Yeah.
No, I think it's like a lot of kids can relate to that though. You know, I think like growing up in school, we obviously all just want to fit in and like not feel like a we have no one to sit with at lunch
you
and like
you don't ever want to be like that odd one out.
Yeah, but then it's like it almost starts to become like a problem to us then like when you're not really being your authentic self just to sort of like fit into that group. And I feel like that's like the perfect time to sort of like
to start like actually go out your comfort zone and get out your shell, because if you don't do it then as a kid, that's all you're only gonna keep doing it as you grow up.
Yeah.
You have to like break that cycle, because like, I was really not an outgoing person. I was really cool with everybody across the grade.
It's crazy because you seem so just like energetic and outgoing.
Yeah, no, I know, but like, bro, when I tell you, like, bro, I was like wearing like I was like the only kid in the hallways wearing like golf and like I was like I had that cheetah button up, that pink and that one, the pink collar from like the golf. But I wore that shit like it was religious. Like, I wore that shit like it was, like, bro, I was wearing that shit. Putting that on, like I went to school for the Halloween, like for the week of Halloween, we had a themed week, and each day, like we had Celebrity Week, and like I dressed up as Tyler. I had the Odd Future hat on with the pink polo,
the
skateboard.
Whole thing.
Yeah, I had the whole shtick, you know.
Yeah, it was did fire. You feel like a pressure? I know you mentioned like obviously there weren't a lot of black kids at school, and they were sort of all like sectioned off in their groups. Like, did you feel like coming in, like I have to fall in line with like one of these lanes?
I think it was more of like with me, it was like, all right, so this is what I'm working with. The school is like, I'm gonna just see what happens. Like, I started to like more just organically talk to people in the hallways or people I was like, I'd see constantly throughout the day and be like, all right, bet I see this person like five times. I'm gonna talk to them. I'm gonna talk to them for those five times I see them.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, that's when I started to like actually start to build a lot of my friends. Like, there's one friendship on campus that like like one like a very tight like locked in friendship, and it was like me and my friend Channing.
Yeah.
And I know Channing like when I Channing was like my best friend ever because I moved to Indiana and she was like the only like one of the other black kids in the grade who was like me, who was like, because I had ADHD as a kid, so I was on ADHD medication throughout middle school. I stopped like right before the start of high school because that shit was not good for me.
Yeah.
And but after that, bro, it was just like me and Channing did everything together. Like I was always over at her house, always hanging with her family, all these things. And that like really made me feel comfortable and start to feel more comfortable with myself because Channing's gay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really hard for her to come out to her parents.
Yeah.
And when that moment had come, like me and her had been through so much, it was like a moment for both of us.
Yeah,
it was like both of us helping her be okay with being herself and not have to like have shame in that.
Yeah.
Because that's what I think everybody should have. Like I want to, like that's the main thing, like with my music, I just want people to know that like I got to where I'm at, like being me.
Yeah.
I never really tried to be anybody or act like anybody. Yeah. I just done what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I've kept my head on straight. Like I haven't let things get to my head. And
yeah.
If you can do that and you can keep that patience and understand that it doesn't come overnight and that things don't happen at all the time for everybody, immediately, then, like, you're fine. Like, I feel like a lot of people just need to have that head, that
mindset.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Like, it's such a great story and so true of, like, you know, you had a Channing. It's like, you just need your one person at least. It's like, we don't need the whole
group
with all these guys and all this. It's like, find one person who can let you be yourself and can hold you down and you can trust and who won't judge you and like all these different things. And like I love how you talk about like not feeling shame, because obviously that's such a big part of like mental health and like being able to just like express ourselves freely. And
it's like for black kids, you don't really hear black kids being vulnerable.
Yeah,
you don't hear a lot of kids in the black community, because we're all instilled with us as growing up, men don't cry, like
especially if you're a man.
If you're a man. And growing up, and when all of, like, the people that are in your life are, like, these macho men and, like, these strong people.
Athletes,
who,
like, strong. Yeah,
like, all these people who have these very, very, like, who have these very athletic, like, builds and appearances. Like, you're obviously going to shift your nature to be more like that.
Yeah.
You're not going to actually want to embrace what you have. And, like,
sometimes
the awkwardness that you have, that you bring to a conversation, might be the best quality you have as a person, but you don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, like, some of the things that you might push off and not want to lean into and embrace might be the strong suits that you're missing in the line of work that you're doing.
Yeah,
because
like society teaches you that's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, because they teach you that's not what you're supposed
to
do. And you just have to break that social construct. Because once you break that, you can literally do whatever. The sky's the limit. As long as you're able to put in the work that's required behind what you're saying, then, bro, anything is possible. After you break out of that norm, that way of thinking.
Yeah. I know you said that you got diagnosed with like ADHD. Yeah. I did also. Like I first got like an Adderall script when I was like 12 years old.
Oh yeah, they give you straight opiates when you're like
no, it's insane. Legit. What like how old were you like when you first got diagnosed?
It was like in between transferring over from fifth grade to sixth grade.
Yeah,
like in the start of my year as a sixth grader in middle school.
And was it like you going to your parents like, yo, like something's wrong, or is like the teacher like, hey, like this kid is like,
it was like my parents, it's like my teachers had noticed like how sporadic and how easy,
it's like you can't really focus,
blah
blah blah,
like how off topic I was in class. I was like, how much I couldn't focus, and they were like, you should get him tested for ADHD. I was like, ADHD, I don't have that. I have it,
yeah,
but like it's not a bad thing. Like, bro, it helps me. Like, even a situation, bro, it helps me, like, on stage.
Creatively, bro, like, energetically.
Performing, like, on stage, ADHD shit will make me see something in the crowd and be like, yo, do you have a shirt on with my name on it? And then, like, something like that. Like, that shit literally point out to me, and it makes shows 10 times better.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, that's tapping into, like, being yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously, this is something that we both live with in this instance. Like, if you try and act like you don't have it, that will only cause more pain than, like, accepting it. And then it's like, how can I channel? It's like, yo, now I'm so hypervigilant on stage. It's like I could see the craziest shit. It's like it's almost like a superpower.
Yeah,
in that
it
way.
Makes you see everything that like it makes you look into things and actually be interested in them. Because like when you would like when I take my ADHD medication, I think it was like I forgot what it was called, like flowing, blah, 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 blah. It was something. It was some shit. But whenever I would take it, it would make me fixate on everything in the world, but I was never intrigued, had any attachment or anything of the sort to it. And it also ruined my eating, like my, and it gave me like
suppresses appetite.
Yeah, so,
like
yeah, bro. I was sitting at lunch, like everybody, Because we had this thing where we would sit at lunch when we were in middle school. You had a table head. So you had, like, somebody that would serve. Like, you're somebody that would go up, get the food, bring it to the table. Yeah, yeah. And so I'm sitting at lunch. They're like, so, Edgar, what do you want? I'm not really hungry. That was me, like, every day. Like, I had to literally force myself to eat.
Yeah.
They're like, what do you mean? And like, they saw me at lunch. I'm like, oh, I just need a cookie, bro. Like, I just get, like, a cookie and some ice cream. And, like, that's really all I'll eat, all I need.
Were you very, like, resistant to medication in the beginning, or like what was that whole process?
I was very,
like,
with me, because like with it was like I wasn't always against it, but then it when it started to create a habit for me that I notice now looking back on it is when I started to be like, yeah, I don't know, I don't like how this makes me feel. Mm-hmm. Like I straight up just told my parents, I don't like how this medicine makes me feel.
Yeah,
like it makes me feel not human, it makes me feel like a robot. I remember having that conversation with my parents like so vividly.
Yeah, like, what was their reaction?
And they're like, then you don't have to take it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, that was never the goal for that. Like, you never intended for it to make you feel that sort of way.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it's so hard, too, with the medication, because, like, you start and the doctor's like, all right, like, it's going to take, like, 3 months to even, like, tell if it's working or not, right? And then it's, like, the same way of, like, getting off of it. It's, like, you know, the time period is, like, so long. And then it's obviously a lot of, like, it's mental.
It's mental,
like,
gymnastics,
you know?
At, like, a really young age, too. Yeah. Like, you over here wondering why you can't focus in class, and like now it's a thing because you have a prescription, and it's like, why do I need a prescription for something that isn't that big of a deal? Like it makes you overthink a lot, especially as a kid.
Yeah,
especially with me, because I'm not gonna lie, like low-key got bullied in middle school, like on some, like, a lot of people, like I was 4'10, like and I was 4'10 up until freshman year of high school with the faux hawk.
It's a little shooter, right?
So it's like Maybe it was a bit justified for the faux hawk, but everything else, I did not deserve that. That was rude.
No.
But it also shaped my experience on life. Like, it shapes how I view people. Like, I never want to treat people the way I've been treated.
Yeah.
Have them be in my shoes, because we all doing the same thing. We all have expiration date. We're all the same, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we all just have to put bullshit. It's hard for people to put their pride or bullshit aside and not say that.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, nah, just because I did this, I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And then that just creates only friction. It never creates.
What was that experience like, sort of getting bullied? Like, was that your first time, remember, like, feeling really, like, sad?
Bro,
or, like,
it was my first time,
like,
where I actually questioned, like, I was questioning shit about,
like,
me. Like, I was like,
am I whack?
Yeah, like, I was like, damn, am I really that short?
Yeah.
Like, damn. Like they made me quite, like I got, like, really insecure about a lot of things. And it definitely made me, and it definitely played a part in why I was trying to, like, act like somebody else and, like, fit into everybody, like, freshman year of high school, because I was so lost in that shit. Like, it made me feel like, they point out, it was always just the small things that ended up being the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
Like, the small critiques about, like, how my teeth look, or my braces, or like something like that. Like, those small things get to me, because now I go back home, I look in the mirror, I'm like, damn, do I even need these braces, bro? Like, why do I even need these shits? Yeah. And it makes me I try to rip them off and then the wire break and gotta go back in. It's 10 times more painful because they tighten the fucking wire, bro.
Yeah, I think it's just a good message of just like, you know, like, just be kind to people, because you just really, like,
never know.
You think you're just, like, busting a joke or cracking some shit, it's just, like, the impact that can have on someone. And, like, that's why this whole mental health thing is, like, so hard, because it's, like, it's invisible, right? You know, like, if someone broke their arm and they had a cast, you wouldn't go and, like, roast them for having a broken arm. But, like, you know, if someone
To be honest, I would. Like if it was my friend, oh, I'm going.
Fair. If it was your friend. But,
if it's somebody I don't know,
physical injuries, I mean, like, you can see them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, like, if you're feeling insecure, like, having a bad day, it's, like, people don't notice that.
Bro,
so then they can't really, like, behave appropriately.
Like, the first time that my parents had ever heard that I was, like, sad or depressed and, like, I was, like, suicidal at some point. Like,
how did they hear that? Did
my music
tell them? Yeah,
it's literally my
through
song. It's literally through Trying.
Yeah,
they heard Trying. My dad's like, hey, E3, come downstairs real quick. I was like, oh man, he never calls out my name like that.
Yeah.
And so I open my door, I walk downstairs, I sit down, and then my parents start talking to me about the lyrics of the song. I'm like, yeah. And then after that, I just literally unloaded everything that I'd kept in from them. Like, I just straight up told them.
Such a beautiful moment.
Yeah, bro. I was, like, crying tears and shit. And I was like, because the main reason I didn't want to tell them, see, I didn't want them to worry about me.
Yeah, or,
you
like,
know? That's what a lot of people.
We don't want to disappoint our parents.
You don't want to disappoint them.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the biggest thing a kid has, especially at a young age. Is, like, you only want to make your parents proud.
Yeah.
For the most part.
When did you first start really, like, writing and, like, pouring these experiences into the art and not really like sharing it with other people?
Like sophomore year,
yeah,
I started writing poetry because my freshman English teacher, Miss Horton, shout out to her, she's the GOAT. But she had actually made me mad, and like she inspired me to like start to actually write down a lot about like how I was feeling, but just in like a spoken word form or like a short poem. And so I started to write poetry and go to like open mics and bounce around from those from like sophomore, like mid sophomore year to like end of junior year. And man, it just like, it made me like love writing. Like it made me like,
it felt good.
Yeah, it felt super good because it's like, I'm hearing all this raw emotion through words, like on a piece of paper. But it's the way that people read them. It's the way that you write them. It's the way that you present it. The text choice, even like all of those are small things that make an imprint or make some sort of, or they do something in some sort of way to impact the message, like the overall message and the tone of whatever project or whatever poem you're listening to or writing or hearing out loud. And like that was so sick to me because I'd never really seen something like that because I'd always grown up listening to a bunch of music, but I never really had an outlet for me, essentially, to get out a lot of the ways I was feeling and to get out a lot of that energy that was in my brain, instead of it being, like, physical, jittery, like, bouncing, exciting energy.
No, that's, like, it's so amazing just to hear your story of, like, you know, you face these hardships freshman year being bullied or whatever, and then, like, really express yourself through this poetry and like these things, and then seeing that end up turn into like what's about to be an amazing career.
I convinced my English teacher to let us do a rap song on the Odyssey as our final project, and then we got in two groups and we all presented a song which we all had like a verse rapping about Homer and like his son.
Bro, that's insane.
It's so fire, bro. Like, that's why Miss Horton's the GOAT, because she would literally drop the agenda of class if one of her students felt
bad. That's really special,
yeah, and then afterwards she would make them, and she would be like, why's your day? Like, how's your day going? And then if they said why their day's bad, we start to expand on that. She makes it a whole discussion for the whole class.
Dude, that's really special.
It's super sick. That's why I value her so much, and I've always valued her importance.
What were some of the biggest things that you learned from her?
A lot of it was just, bro, just live your truth. Be, like, and be you. She's like, she said, be me unauthentically.
Yeah.
And that's always stuck with me.
Yeah.
Because if you love yourself and you love everything you're doing, it's only going to make other people want to love it too and get to that same level of love that you have for yourself.
Yeah.
It's inspiring.
Yeah. And I feel like the biggest thing is, like, you can't hold it in. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what. Like, and that's
no matter even like, and with me too, it's like, bro, I still have days where I look where I'm insecure and I like,
of course,
be
it's
down
a normal part of life.
It's a part of life. But it's a matter of how you approach those days.
Yeah.
It's a matter of how you handle those situations and those emotions. Because you can be like, damn, my hair doesn't look that good today. I'm not going out for the whole week, like type shit.
Yeah.
Or you could be like, damn, my hair doesn't look good today, but all I need is a comb and I'm good.
Yeah. I'm back at it.
And then back at it.
Like, yeah.
If you just let small things like that ruin, like, I'm still getting better at it too myself. Totally. I'm only 19. Like,
yeah.
I only do so much.
Yeah.
But, like, even I'm just learning and I'm taking time, like, right now for myself to, like, grow and genuinely, like, learn. Like, I've been getting more in touch with, like, meditation and the spiritual aspect of life and, like, all of those things. And it's, like, it's been a really good change for me.
Yeah, I think even, like, what I've learned, too, for myself is, like, you know, I'm not on Adderall anymore. It's all right, cool. Like, if I'm not going to do the medication, what are other, like, natural things that I can set up in my life?
Things,
and, like what can my mental health care look like? Because, obviously, you have to do something.
You have to do something. Because if you don't, it's just going to spiral out of control.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be left dealing with something that you didn't want to deal with in the first place.
Yeah.
But since you didn't deal with it, now you have to.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to do a little bit every day, or do you want to like let it build up? And then it's like, if you don't, then in a month it's going to be a huge mountain.
In a month it's
going to
be a mountain.
Yeah, and then it's just like way more like.
It's kind of like you know when you have a depression pile of clothes in your room, and you finally feel good, and you're like, you know what? No, and then you clean it.
Today's the day.
You clean up and you clean the whole room. Like, you make sure everything's spotless,
and it feels incredible.
It feels amazing,
and like that's a state of meditation of taking care of yourself. Like, they always say that like the room is like a reflection of like how you're feeling,
100%,
which is like so true,
so real.
So when did you take like the poetry and actually be like, nah, like I'm gonna really turn this into music?
I always been like on that music stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, freshman year is when I actually started recording, like, recording my first ever song. But I didn't really start writing.
And was this like just like on like some GarageBand shit?
Bro,
or like...
on some GarageBand shit. Like yeah. me on my iPad in the closet with a Beats headphone, with Beats headphones. Didn't even have a mic. I just used the mic on the Beats headphones cable. Yeah. I was like, yo, check it. And I made a Look At Me remix for a diss track on this kid in our grade.
That was your first song?
Was my
it,
first
was
song
a diss track? Yeah.
Bro, funniest like 48 hours of my life.
Yeah.
Because the way it spread like a wildfire throughout school.
Really?
Was crazy. Yes, bro. It was so funny because there was this beef between these two kids and they both were like some of the weirder kids in like they were considered the weird kids like in the grade. Mm-hmm. But they were both really smart. And so they had a they literally had like a rap battle, like 8 mile rap battle outside on the we have this thing called the Wood Room. And it's like a little like it's kinda like if you're a free period, it's kinda like the little place you can sit, you work, kick it or whatever, study, kick it. Little like commercial space. And so they're outside on like this little patio.
Yeah.
And so they're outside on the patio. It's like 30 people on both sides and they just in the middle both holding their little phones and like this piece of paper, this notepad, rapping, spitting. And I'm like, you know what? I could body both of these. I could body both of these niggas. Yeah. So I'm like, I go literally at track practice, have the instrumental up. I'm literally copying the rhyme scheme from Look At Me to just change the words to a diss on the kid I was making it. I go back home that night. I record it. I make the cover art on PixArt and I post it all in like 3 hours.
You just inserted yourself into the beef.
Bro, I inserted myself into the beef. I had no, like, there was nothing at all that drew me in. But I was like, you know what? I want to be in this. And so I was.
No, you were starving for,
I was like, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for this.
Yeah.
I'm going to step in. And I stepped in.
No, that's hilarious.
You know?
When did shit really start, like, popping off for you in that way?
Trying. I dropped the Summer 03 in, I would say, it was 2020, I believe.
Okay.
Like, I signed, like, a week before I graduated.
Wow.
And so then I actually re-signed the deal when I turned 18, like literally like 2 weeks later because my birthday's June 5th.
Yeah.
And
mine's on June 11th.
Bro, come on. Gemini.
Yep.
Gemini King.
You already know.
Bro, they be shitting on us on the timeline, bro.
Heavy.
You see that? Heavy. Like heavy. People I don't even be doing nothing.
They close the door immediately.
Yeah, bro.
When you say you're a Gemini.
Bro, I said proud Gemini man on my Twitter. I had a quote retweet. Somebody said, no, I just fell to my knees.
Some of the greatest, though.
No, I'm saying.
Kendrick.
Some of the ghosts.
Tupac. I know you said we can't say a Kanye anymore.
Yeah, but you know.
Kanye. When you got signed, what, like, how did that all come about? Like, what was that experience
bro,
like?
I talked with, like, over the span of, like, 3 months, I'd say. Or, like, 2 months. Like, 2 to 3 months. I talked to damn near every major label.
And was this after just like a couple singles or like what?
Bro, it was after, it was after because I had dropped Trying and then the video Overcast had dropped on their page. And then that video blew up and then I got YouTube TV's Artists on the Rise.
Wow.
And so they put me on the page, like the YouTube page, like the main page, shot the video up like insane. And then after that, people started posting about it on TikTok.
Was that like your first like holy shit kind of moment?
It was that one and then this song called Troops with my friend Osquin and Widow. And that was like a song that blew up on TikTok.
Yeah.
Because it was like a lot of there were a lot of these edits for like this aesthetic called like scenecore. Or like very like 2000s like rave. Like subculture like vibes.
Yeah.
And so that was the scene I really like came up in like genuinely like I came up in that scene and it was so fire. It was so sick.
Right, like that's like your like nostalgic
that's,
era.
Yeah, that's like my little niche. Yeah. I guess you could say. It's like and so then from that like the hyperpop word was born from like the Spotify playlist. And because they genuinely didn't know what the fuck to call the type of music we were making.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
If they don't know where to put you.
Yeah. And so
They coined that like hyperpop term.
Yeah, so hyperpop like originally it was a Spotify playlist and then people that used it here and there in some articles, but then it became like the coin term for the scene.
Yeah.
And then after that, hyperpop and then digicore was also one that I say digicore for the most part. But it's hyperpop. There's not really a difference. It's just regardless of it's just preference on what you want it to be called. But because at the end of the day, the music is still so varied and like not similar from one another.
No,
at
you
all.
Can't just like, all right, this is what it is.
Yeah,
here you go.
You can't even be like, yo, this is hyperpop, like in a straight playlist, like and show them what it, like and show them a dead on representation of what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
what was the process like? I know you said you spoke to like a million different labels. Like, how did you sort of navigate like the right thing to do there?
I had, before anything, I got a lawyer. Shout out Matt Cutler, man, the GOAT. Before anything, I got a lawyer, and then
my parents were on the call, super helpful, too.
But before that, my manager as well, Sammy. He, what happened was we set up a plan. We're like, all right, this EP, we're gonna make X amount of songs, and that was my job, was to make the songs and the music. And then afterwards, my parents and then Sammy came up with a plan for, because already when I dropped Trying, which was like the standout single from it, that really got a lot of eyes on the song.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were already calling and hitting me up. And the first label to actually reach out to me was Awful Records. So
isn't it crazy how it's literally just like one song?
And yeah. It's one song and then it's like everybody calling you, like you on Zoom meetings. Like that's what I did. Like
it's crazy, dude.
And so even before I had signed, actually no, it was after I'd signed.
Yeah.
But I came out here for a trip in like July, and I was out here for the whole month, just sessions, shows, sessions, videos, everything. And then like that's when I made like Riddle Off a Better Look. Next Time I made Gemini, I made Lock It Up with Yeet, out here like during that trip. I made a lot of really good music, a lot of good songs, like Care I made out here. All of those songs are like, I Know You Hate Me I made in my college dorm. Like that's such a good fucking song.
Yeah,
I love that song. But when I was like, what I did beforehand was I just made sure I knew what I was walking into.
Yeah.
Because the real point, like, for me, I was like, I know genuinely I don't need a label if I wanted to. Like, if I didn't want one, I did not.
A lot of people
sign.
Who don't.
And it's so easy to, because nowadays it's really easy to be self-sufficient, really easy to be independent.
But
what I went into, I literally asked the question, what can you guys do for me that I'm already not doing for myself?
Yeah.
And if you do that, in what way and how can you show me that? And can I meet the people in specific who would be working day to day on my music and what teams and what they would be?
Yeah.
And I had like, for example, I had like three meetings with Interscope. I had like four meetings with Capitol, like all of those things. Mm-hmm. Like, but each meeting was like me meeting like their tech department or the people that were working marketing.
I want to look these people in the eye and see.
Like you can vouch for me all you want, but I'm going to talk to each and every one of these people.
And like,
do I like the energy?
Do
I like the people working in? Like, and that's why I ended up working with Geffen. It was like, I'll fuck with the staff over there. And it was a fire match. And it was really, really good. Like, it was really good people too.
Yeah. So what did they say? To answer your question of like what they can do for you that like you felt like you weren't able to do on your own to sign,
they detail like a they come up with like release plans and strategies and things for me. I necessarily wouldn't have to do anymore, like for me, because I used to make I used to make up my own drop schedule and when I would drop.
Like you can't be thinking about all that shit.
I can't be thinking about all that if y'all just want me to make the music, you know. And so when you have people who, and these are also people who, like, another thing, reason why I chose Geffen was because of the experience over there. Like, these are people that,
it's a pedigree.
Yeah, like, it's a pedigree. Like, you have to work with the right people. Like, some, for some reason, like, for example, like, Kanye worked with the right people and now he's where he's at, you know? Like, if you don't have those people, those glue to the operation, then, like, it's just gonna fall apart. And that's what they offer. Like, they genuinely gave me insight to on, like, the industry and how things work. Like, how, like, cause like for example, I didn't know how features or clearances or videos or anything of that shit went.
Right.
But now I actually understand that and like know that in paper too.
Yeah.
Like
I know you said you made that one joint in your college dorm. Are you in college right now?
I was. I was enrolled at Belmont University for a semester. And bro, college was so fun. I had my first tour while I was in college, and I actually, only reason I dropped out of college was to actually go on my full-fledged first full-month tour.
Yeah.
It was with my friend Glaive, my friend Ash, the GOAT. I'm actually seeing him later.
Fire.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I love to let that boy.
You want to know something crazy? I dropped out of college after my first semester.
Bro, I'm telling you. There's something about it. That first semester is just...
I went to Indiana, too.
Really?
I was up in Bloomington.
Bloom?
Yeah. And it was like...
Shout out to Bloom, man.
Same thing as you. It was like, I was having so much fun. It was so fire.
Literally,
like
bro.
I was like, the basketball team was number one. Yeah. I was pledging a frat. I was like, you know, doing all the things I thought I was supposed to do. But I really like, you know, tapped in with like myself. And I was just like, I don't know if I want to be doing this for like
some of these settings and stuff.
Three, 4 years. And like, I did that same exact thing. Like dropped out, came home, just started working and trying to figure it out. And like, here we are. So I think that's really like... that's really the message.
If you take that time to like truly work on yourself and make what you want to dream come to fruition, it'll happen 1,000%.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how much you want it.
Yeah.
Because people will put in that work, and then once they get this close, or like literally baby steps away, they'll stop.
Yeah.
Or they'll give up, or they'll lose motivation on things when they're in the middle of it, or like they're in the midst of it. And that's when you have the 100%. Power through that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I went through my first breakup. Like, my first genuine heartbreak.
Like heartbroken.
Like,
yeah.
Fell to my knees, like, yeah. When I got the call. Like,
helpless, like, yeah.
That happens in college, but like when that happened, it literally sparked me creating Better Look Next Time.
Yeah.
Like that whole album was just about heartbreak.
What are some of the things that you learned from that, a breakup about yourself?
I learned that everybody's not perfect. Yeah. I learned that social media and a lot of the things that we see on a day-to-day basis will influence and deter what the standards of a relationship are.
Yeah.
And it's like, I learned it the hard way.
Yeah.
And it's like, and being busy and making time for people is a lot more important than what I viewed it as at all.
Yeah, like actually having to show up.
Yeah, actually having to show up and like make my words turn into actions instead of my words just being words.
Yeah.
And actually seeing something change and actually working on those things that I said I would.
Yeah, and I imagine it's obviously been very therapeutic for you to like, you know, write about these experiences these moments through the music.
Yeah, like I just now started seeing a therapist.
Yeah.
Because music has been like literally like a week ago.
Wow. How did you find them?
My sisters.
Nice. But was it weird like the first like session?
It was like an introductory, and then it was like it's not really that weird now.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I tried it like twice.
Mm.
And it was just a therapist, bro. Like,
well, yeah, but when you're a kid too, and especially I imagine it was around like the ADHD stuff.
Yeah, it was
stuff.
Around the ADHD, like posts, like very, very early post of the ADHD diagnosis. And it's
it's like, you bro, don't I go need to in be there, I'm like, how are you feeling?
Yeah, he
like,
got me talking about how I'm feeling. Like, bro, I want to be here.
Like, it's not
this,
about that.
Sitting in this damn chair.
Yeah.
You got toys? I see you got some toys. Okay, I play with the toys. Like, that's how I felt. Like, I didn't care about anything he was saying.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it didn't get through to me.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I actually understand that, and it's like it's really relieving.
So you're enjoying like these new sessions with this person,
and I'm also enjoying, bro, the music I've been making recently is fucking nuts.
Yeah,
it's like so pretty.
I wonder if there's any coincidence between the two.
Hey man, I don't even know. Maybe I just don't want to admit it.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I just, bro, I've always had this argument. I told my mom, I'm never going to be in therapy. Like, therapy is never going to work for me.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Cap.
I honestly believe that, like, everyone could benefit from being in therapy.
Bro,
like,
it really,
you know, like, that's the thing is, like, it doesn't mean that there's, like, something has to be wrong with you to do it or
not
to benefit from it. If, like, if you're just a human being, just like,
you just want to get your emotions out, vent. Like, everybody needs to vent here and there. You can't keep everything pent up.
These people are literally professionals in, like, hearing how people are feeling and like being able to help them like know where it's from and like what to do.
It's literally
their
job. They're paid to do that.
Yeah.
It's like
a lot of money too.
It just, all it takes is just the right person.
Yeah.
That's what I've come to learn. That's what people have been telling me, but I was always ignorant. I was like, Cap, no, I don't believe in that.
No, like,
but yes, genuinely,
you gotta find the one.
You gotta find the right one.
Yeah. What do you think that like people,
you ever seen that that Complex video of Chief Keef of Chief Keef in therapy?
Yeah, it's the best.
Bro, so fire.
Tell me more about like this first album. I know you said that like there's a lot of sort of like heartbreak and like
it's
your perspective.
It's
on,
a story. Like I'm telling
it
in a story.
Yeah.
You're getting transported into my mind, like in the most personal way I could put that. Like,
yeah.
In the like most intimate way I can put that, like I'm working to create a universe. Like that's the thing I want to care about. Like when you listen,
build a world.
When you listen to, like, for example, I've given this example every single time I've given this pitch.
Yeah.
But when Travis Scott had released Astroworld,
mm-hmm.
you never heard anybody once say, oh, I'm going to the Travis Scott show tonight. I'm going to Astroworld. That's what they always said. They never said that they were going to anything. Like, oh, I'm going to Astroworld.
Yeah.
It said it's a place that exists. When the theme park hasn't been around for ages.
Yeah.
But he made it a thing.
Yeah.
And then that became a world. Same thing with The Weeknd.
Like, yeah.
The after hours world.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, create that.
Yeah, it's like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. That world. Like, all of those are worlds. Those are experiences.
Yeah.
When you listen to those, you get taken somewhere.
Yeah.
Makes you feel like you're somewhere else. And that's like, and that's what a real music is. It's like something that makes you feel moved.
Like transports you.
Yeah, you listen to What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, that whole album all the way through. You feel the soul of each and every single song.
Yeah, like you know? It has an impact on
you.
Yeah. How did you go about like thinking about like what producers to work with? Do I want features? Do I not? Like what was the whole like creative process there?
I'm a really on the fly type of guy.
Yeah.
So like.
Just like spontaneous
Yeah,
shit?
I'm a very spontaneous person. But for this, it was like really thought out and just like, okay. Don't want to do too much on like make this too wordy so that the instrumentation can breathe and like mm-hmm. give it space. Like I was thinking about it in a lot more critical,
yeah.
in a critical way.
Yeah.
And it's like in order to make the records like fully like intimate moving pieces for each one, you know?
Yeah. How's it been like working with like a label on the project, like having their support and like them being able to tap people?
It's so fun, bro. That's like.
So can you just be like, yo, I want like this person on the track and they'll hit them?
I'll be like, it's more like I know this person over at their team. I know, if you want a feature from this person, I know they manager. I'll hit them on the side and we'll try and get things going and start a chain from there.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be okay, we don't know anybody on that team, but we'll hit them for inquiries and we'll let you know what we have. Like,
Yeah.
Like they always are very persistent on that front of making sure that you can actually bring together that body of work. But I like doing features, but like receiving them, it's like, I want to be able to make sure that if somebody's featured on my song, it's like the best I can get.
Yeah, like you're like with like, them in person. With them it's a real in person, like it's a real relationship.
That's how, like that's how me and Denzel made Tally. Yeah, like we made that in person.
Yeah,
and it's like all my like a lot of Better Luck Next Time. I made a lot of the beats with my friend Ellen's over Discord. Like, mm-hmm. but we sat there for like 4 or 5 hours at a time building the beat, writing the lyrics, doing all of those.
Like
things.
It's not just like some like
it's not
mail-in
yeah
shit.
It's not just like some I don't want Justin Bieber on his bet. Like it's, right, and then right. I get it back the next day.
Shows
you know?
Up like bro, never seen him. Yeah,
yeah. Bro, it's so, and also I also learned that it's very the industries are very patient. You have to be patient.
Yeah,
I'm not patient. I'm a very impatient person.
I can't say I'm surprised.
Me either. I don't think I'm that surprised. But I'm not that patient of a person.
Yeah, I want to ask about like social media and like TikTok and like and shit like that. Obviously, that's like your generation. Like what you can attribute so much of like your. Already success to and things like that, and I know that you shared briefly about just like you know some of the maybe negative sides of it. It's like how do you deal with that, or like knowing that the world is like you know somewhat fake and not 100% like genuine, but you also really need to play that game to succeed. Like how do you think about that balance?
I think you just have to play your strengths. Like for example, like I know I'm not a bad looking person,
mm-hmm.
so if I just post a TikTok of like me and my friends just goofing around, like it might just blow up because I look good in it. You know, like. Or, like, I know that this part of the song is the catchiest part of the song. I'm going to put this version on TikTok, even if it's not with, like, a video to go along with it. Maybe just something to post it with. Some people literally just post their sessions or their FLPs or their project files, screen record them, and post them on TikTok, and they'll blow up. And then the sound blows up.
That's crazy.
And it's, like...
It's Are you thinking about, like, TikTok, like, when you're making music like that now?
No. Yeah. Never that. Yeah. Ooh, that's just, like... That's what some people are doing, and it's ruining.
Like, I feel like that's going to be the death of it.
It is.
Yeah.
People are making, or they're only trying to make marketable music. They're not trying to make just music.
Yeah.
They're trying to make music that they know is in this soundscape or in this niche
that's not
going to
last.
Up. Yeah.
It's like you're just trying to like catch a moment.
Mm-hmm. That's why
like
it's like, for example, you hear so many people on similar type of beats and sounding similar nowadays is because everybody's trying to get or emulate that sound mm-hmm. because they know it works mm-hmm. and they've seen the results of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the amount of people that sound like Yeet is insane. You know?
Yeah.
But like his songs blew up on TikTok, even though he was already popping beforehand, but his songs blew up on TikTok and it brought him to an entirely different level than anybody else. People are obviously gonna be, I bet if I just lean into this, this shit's probably gonna happen to me.
No, 100%.
And then when it doesn't, you already have put 5 songs or an album out that sounds like this. You can't really just backtrack and delete everything.
Yeah.
You have to just work around that.
Yeah.
And that sucks. Like, it sucks. It ruins creativity. It hinders it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's, like, that's really what I worry about when I think about the music industry.
Bro,
of, like, you're trying to catch
that's
just,
how I
like,
feel about, like, AI
lightning
shit.
In a bottle. Yeah, and it's
Did
just, like,
Did you see
like,
that Kendrick
becoming,
AI shit?
Dude, it's crazy. It's crazy. It, like...
It's nuts,
the
bro.
The ChatGPT shit is, like...
Bro.
Thinking about, like, your, like, world that you talk about and, like, some of those, mm-hmm. like, references, like... Describe your world to me of like what you want to create, like what you want it to look like how you want people to feel, like what is the Midwest world in that way?
Imagine you're like walking through a very foggy.
Midwest right there. Yeah, right?
Like a very foggy, like very overgrown, unmaintained area of like a forest. Like you're walking into like the base of the Smoky Mountains, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but you see like a lighted door, like an opening. And then you walk up to that opening, you step through, and then you step through, it's an entirely different world.
Like a portal, yeah.
The trees are lit up, like, very Pandora, Avatar-esque. Like, and, like, each time that you hear, like, one of the songs or the songs play from the album, like, I want it to feel like a color, like a feeling.
Yeah.
So, like, for the visuals and stuff, I'm probably about to have, like, color-themed visuals. And
that's
for
fire.
Tour and, like, for tour and, like, all of the other stuff. Like, the small stuff that I really care about, because I feel like a lot of people forgot about the importance of an actual rollout for the album. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people just drop the album on people. Be like, yo, it's coming out at midnight. Enjoy
Bet.
That.
Bet, yeah.
Bet. And that's all they have for it. Yeah. Then they have, like, a couple videos to accompany it. But that's why
not,
like,
how you build a
that's
world.
That's not how
I'll
you build
you
a world.
Yeah.
You have to, like, for example, Kanye dropped a whole movie for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
The Runaway film, yeah.
Yeah, bro. Like, a whole short film for it. Just because he wanted to put visuals to it and create that world.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it takes time, but if you do it and execute it right, it's very fire. Like, even Lil Nas X did it with Montero. Mm-hmm. Like, there are really, really good ways for people to, I just feel like it makes the music even better. Like, mm-hmm. for example, you go back and, like, if you listen to Denzel Curry album, that's Black and White, that's the Black and White cover art. Mm. Taboo. If you go back and listen to Taboo, it's a split album. It's like, it's like happy in the beginning and demonic at the end, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like only an artist can do that.
Yeah.
People who make music can make music, but you have to be an artist to
like
truly
that's
make
the art
a world.
It.
That's the art in it.
Yeah.
It's translating that. It's transmitting everything that you're trying to put in the music to everything else.
Yeah.
So if your visuals don't match how grand the music is, then it might not hit the same. Or if you don't have this sort of aesthetic to what you're doing, or you don't have a sort of look to what you're doing, or a certain way or direction, it's going to be easy to get lost in it.
Yeah.
And as soon as you have that direction and you follow it and you lean into that and you want that world to be built, it'll be built in the way you want it to be. It's just a matter of how much.
Thinking about the future, I guess, like obviously this is the very, very beginning of your career. Like, are there certain big goals that you have, or like big like boxes that you want to check, or like big dreams in that way?
I want to sing Happy Birthday to one of my parents or one of my family members on stage at a major festival before, like, I'd like, that's like really like the only thing.
That's fire.
That's really it. I just,
well, you need their birthday to fall on a Friday,
fall
Saturday,
on a festival,
Sunday.
And if not, then I'm gonna do it randomly in the middle of the week.
Yeah. Do you have any like festivals that you've always looked up to that you want to play?
I want to do Flogna.
Yeah, that'd be fire.
Just cause, like, bro,
are they still doing it though?
I don't even know.
I feel like it's been a couple years,
bro. They're working.
I went to that like 7 years in a row, bro. It's the best,
bro. I've been dying to like go to that and have like a little date on the Ferris wheel, bro, and watch like a set or something. Like, bro, that's like literally been in my notebook since like.
Dude, I've seen so many like special shows there. It's amazing. I mean, you talk about a world, like, you know, I feel like Tyler's one of the best modern day examples
you don't
of
understand,
like really
bro.
Building that.
I look up to that man Tyler like so
same,
much.
Same, bro. Yeah, 100%.
Like, bro, because I followed this, because I've literally listened to his music since he dropped Bastard on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Like, not even on SoundCloud, on fucking, what was it, Dat Piff.
Yeah.
He created a whole world. Even in clothing, with mm-hmm. golf, with mm-hmm. golf and Golf LaFleur, he separated. Those are two different brands now.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
It's crazy.
Bro, I remember how, you remember how fucking, how crazy and how big it was when he had left, like when Odd Future had broken up and nobody knew anything yet about it. And then he came out with Okra, and then everybody was like, he said, fuck the OF, gas. They look
it's
at the
crazy.
Song, bro. It's like.
It's like Earl's gone.
Yeah, Earl's
he
gone.
Said
like you,
the,
like you never
shit,
really
yeah.
expect an artist to have that much of a pull on you, like that much, like that's why it's like people have so much attraction towards Tyler and like artists like Uzi and artists like Cardi and artists like those types of people, because they seem like a persona.
Yeah, like that's your like support system.
That's your for real.
Yeah, that's crazy. Have you announced a date for the album yet?
No.
Nice.
Well, I've been saying I like the summer a lot. Like I like summertime, so I might do something around there.
Gemini.
Guess we'll see.
That Gemini date.
Bro, if it can come out on my birthday, that should be crazy.
Do you know what day of the week your birthday is this year?
No. I have to look.
That would be crazy.
Wait, let me check. Wait, let me check.
Is it June 5th,
oh, man,
right?
It's on a Monday.
Yeah, that ain't it.
Oof, not it. I'd have to drop it on, like, my uncle's birthday.
When's his?
The 9th. Bro, my dad's... me.
Damn,
my
da- everyone's a Gemini gang,
me,
huh?
My dad, and my grandpa, who are all named Edgar, by the way, all birthdays are in the same week.
Oh, that's why you're E3.
I'm E3. No, you got E2 out there in the car, and you got E1 back home.
Damn.
He just came back from Atlanta. He's in a motorcycle group.
Wow.
Like, he's in, like, called the Buffalo Soldiers. And so they ride these big-ass, like, comfortable-ass motorcycles. It's, like, 30 of them. All of them are veterans.
Wow.
And so they're all black veterans.
That's amazing.
It's super sick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, bro. E3, man.
Nah, man. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you guys for having me.
We love your music, and I think just the way that you openly speak about, you know, being a young black man in therapy, talking about these mental health issues, is like, that's such a big inspiration to us, and I think, like, can positively impact, like, you know, so many kids, like, all over the world. Yeah, so we're excited, brother.
If they're listening to this, just know that I believe in you. So many other people believe in you. You just have to believe in yourself to make anything that you think is impossible possible.
Amen. So, album coming soon.
Album soon.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, it means the world to us for being a part of these conversations, and we really appreciate it. Please don't forget to follow the show and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. Hope you guys enjoy your weekend, and we'll be back next week. See ya. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.